Today is special for another reason as well. We are starting today. That's good. Just put the two of them right there. Put one right here. There you go. There we go. Let's move them over just a little bit. That's good. Thanks, guys. I'm going to move that over just a little bit. Miss Donna, would you come on up here? Amen. Today is a special day. We're starting we're calling it a message series. It's really not going to be a message series, called Miracles. We have, we've been praying for four things recently, and those four things are healing, provision, unsaved loved ones, and laborers into the harvest. And we've prayed those prayers, over the last two or three months now. But prayer didn't just start working when we started praying for those things. Prayer's been working a long time. And so as a part of this, I really want, more than anything, us to just give God a chance to work. I really just want us to be open to what God wants to do. And God has done some miracles around here. I mean, not, you know, hey, my car didn't crank and then it did. I mean, that may be a miracle. Okay, but I'm talking about verified doctors-involved miracles where God showed up and answered and moved, and he, the Bible teaches us that God wants the glory for it. And so I asked Donna to share some things with us this morning. Donna has had a journey over the last 6 or 7 years. Like, I always tell her, every time I talk to her, I'm like, you don't have to try to compete with Job, all right? I mean, they're not writing any more of the Bible. You're not getting in, all right? I mean, it's just nuts. And so Jody and I have known Donna and Jim for 25 years. And they were the first people we met when we moved here. They were on the sidewalk when we moved in the house to become the pastors of this church. And Donna said, well, give us a sample of your preaching. And I was just embarrassed and didn't know what to say. I acted a little goofy. And she thought I was so young to be a pastor. And she was right.
I thought he was in the babies.
And so, but we've been close to them for all these years, and we love them so much, and they've been leaders in this church. And if you know Donna at all, you know that she's intense when it comes to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. There's a handful of people I want praying for me when something bad happens, and two of those are sitting right beside me here today. All right. I'm very grateful for Jim and Donna. And so I want to, here's what we're going to do today. Look at this. I didn't even get in that one, did I? Here's what we're going to do today. I want to give Donna an opportunity to share a portion of her testimony. It's going to take more than 25 minutes, okay? So we're going to hit the highlights today. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to dismiss service. And if you have a sickness, an illness in your body, or you know somebody that does and you want prayer, then we're going to, after we dismiss, we're going to gather down here and we're going to pray, okay? If you need to go, there's no guilt, there's no pressure, none of that. We're going to end service, and then we're going to pray at the end. And so if you would like to stay, you can. Now, when it comes to praying for healing, it's one of those things that the Bible teaches us to pray for healing. The Bible teaches us that God still does miracles, and he still is working like this. But it's not a 1, 2, 3, and boom, you get what you want kind of thing. It's not, you know, put your dollar in the Coke machine and out drops a miracle at the bottom. That's not the way it works. There's a lot going on that we have to trust the Lord with. Part of it is trusting the Lord when we don't get what we want. Sometimes that's the harder time to trust the Lord. That I trust his wisdom and not just his miracle working power. That I trust his faithfulness when I don't get exactly what I'm asking for. But the Bible teaches us to ask. And the Bible even says that we should call the elders of the church. If any, the Bible says, if any is sick among you, then call the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil, and pray the prayer of faith, all right? So that's what we're doing today. That's what this morning is all about. I'm not doing a miracle. Jody's not. Donna's not. It's not about any of that. I even cringe when somebody says, you prayed for me and God did this. I'm like, listen, I just happen to be the one praying then. Amen. All right. Listen, God's going to do his thing and he tells us we have to ask. And so, all right. I just want to ask, let's start with this, Donna.
Afraid to turn me loose, ain't you, Pastor?
Donna does not need us up here. I can tell you that. If you know Donna, you know that. When did you get saved?
I got saved when I was about 9 years old in a little one-room church, a little, you know, old country church. Mm-hmm. And I went up for prayer, and next thing I knew, I was speaking in tongues. Got filled with the Holy Spirit all at once.
There you go. Wow. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so your daddy was a preacher?
My dad and mom were pastors of Trinity Full Gospel for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Well, all their life, you know.
So. One of the honors of my life is I got to speak at Donna's dad's funeral. And he's one of those people. I always say, live your life in a way that you don't make the preacher lie when he's talking at your funeral. And Donna's dad, he just lays it up there for you. You just know where he's at today. So let's just jump all the way forward. So 6 or 8 years ago, you started having some health problems.
Well,
talk about that.
In 2017, you know, I was going to boot camp every day, feeling great. Everything was wonderful, spiritually and physically, you know. And my mom kept on me about getting a mammogram. We always got our mammograms together. So it was October, and she was like a chihuahua dog. Beep, 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 beep. You know, kept on and on. So finally, I thought, well, October, you get a gift. I'll take her. So we went, and they called me back and said I needed a biopsy. So, and all this time, I'm saying, well, devil, you're a liar, you know. And so I went and got the biopsy, and I was sitting in a pedicure chair, and the doctor called and said, you have breast cancer. I said, what? I can't have breast cancer? That's contrary to God's word. You know, that's not right. And I started rebuking the devil, and I said, God, please just give me strength not to melt down into this pedicure chair. Just hold me together till I get to my car.
Yeah. Amen. Now, so you went through all of that, and then it got worse.
Yeah. I went through reconstruction and infections and infectious disease doctors until 2019, and I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and leukemia. And I went to the oncologist, and she told me I'd outlive it, never have to be treated, and, you know, all this stuff. And so God started dealing with me about a second opinion. And I came to you at her party, and I said, Pastor, I feel like I need a second opinion. Mm-hmm. So at that time, there was, you know, no treatment or nothing. I went for a year and a half to that oncologist, getting blood work and stuff done, you know, twice a month, once a month for that. Yeah.
So
So you were treated with breast cancer. You had surgery, reconstructive surgery, and then your infection. You're on your way to recovery, and that's when she got a knot in her neck, and it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Okay, so and leukemia. So recovering from one, and then the other two came along.
Yeah. So. This is the third kind of cancer.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, this is a Job story, all right? So then what happens?
Well, so I kept feeling like I needed a second opinion. And, well, before that, let me back up a little bit. When I was diagnosed with the breast cancer, let me go back. So I felt like I needed a second opinion, and I'll talk to you about that. And so I fell down the stairs, y'all, from the attic. Boom. And so I had to go to Dr. Watson, who's my primary care doctor. But as I was going to him, I thought, I need to take my oncology papers, you know. And I had been praying, God, should I go to MD Anderson, a Southwestern? And so I went to Dr. Watson, and I showed Dr. Watson all the testing and stuff. And he said, you have three kinds of cancer. You've never had a PET scan. You've never had a bone marrow biopsy. You are going to MD Anderson. And so I went to MD Anderson at that time. And I still had, you know, just minimum treatment for the leukemia and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma because the oncologist said I was going to outlive it. And I went to her for a year and a half.
Yeah. And you got into MD Anderson almost immediately.
I got into MD Anderson. That was like a Thursday or Friday. And on that next Monday, I was in their treatment program, which is impossible. Yeah. He made one phone call, and I was in treatment the next Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So then talk about that when you were... So you're on your third kind of cancer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Houston and start treatments. What happens then?
Well, I went to MD Anderson, and I saw the doctor, and he looked at me, and he said, "You should have been treated the moment you were diagnosed, you know." And he said, "I think you may have Richter's transformation, which is another kind of cancer, which is very, very aggressive, and the cancers combined."
So that's the fourth kind of cancer. I'm telling you, Job, all right?
And I started reading about the Richter's, and it said there's no cure. And so the doctors told me at that time, "We're going to treat you, but there's no cure for this. It's very rare, and, you know, it doesn't happen very often, and there's just no cure, but we're going to give it all we got." So I went through the PET scan and the bone marrow biopsy and stuff, and when he put that picture up on that screen, my whole head lit up like a Christmas tree from cancer. It was in my sinus cavity, going down my throat, behind my eyes, in my head. And I just looked at it, and I thought, "God, am I going to die?" You know? But I felt a confidence and assurance from God that he was still in this thing. Yeah. That no matter how it looked, no matter what they said, yeah, he has the last say. Amen. You know? And so then Dr. Corey said, we'll have to do chemotherapy very aggressively, and we're going to have to do a stem cell transplant. Mm-hmm. And my sister, they sent kits to every one of my family members to see if they could find a match for me, because it's very hard to find a match for your stem cells. And so my sister Brenda was a perfect match. My sister Nita over there was a 90% match. And my brother Sam was a 50% match. And the doctor said, "That's a miracle, you know, that there's that many that close to you."
Wow.
So anyway, I had to be in the hospital for 32 days for the stem cell transplant. And I had the chemo before that. And then we had to be in Houston for 100 days. But, Pastor, when I found out I had that breast cancer, every night I would tell Jim, "Pray for me, pray for me." Y'all were at the hospital when I had the surgery. And I thought, "I'm going to die. I'm just going to die," before I was diagnosed with anything else. And I got my eyes off of God, and I started looking at that cancer. That's a very scary diagnosis. When they say you have cancer, it's scary. I had two family members pass away from it. My sister had it, you know, and I knew what it was about. And I thought, how can I get cancer? Right. And so I was warring within myself according to what the Bible says and quoting the word. But I had gotten my eyes off of God, and the spirit of fear attached itself to me. Yeah. And I was afraid, and I was waking poor Jim up every 15 minutes. "Pray for me, pray for me." He got saved praying for me, bless God. So anyway, I was laying there, and the surgery was the next morning. And God spoke to me, and he said, "Sometimes you have to pray yourself." And I went into the living room, and I got on my knees, and I started praying in the spirit. And I rose up, and I stood up, and I screamed as loud as I could scream, "Cancer, I am not afraid of you, because you can only do what God allows you to do. You have no power or authority over me. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm blood-bought. I'm spirit-filled. Look at who I am in Christ. You have no power or authority over me." Amen. And right there in my living room, I felt that spirit of fear break and leave me. Amen. From that moment on, I didn't have a moment's fear. Going through all the other cancers, I had no fear. And I knew God was in me. I'd be in those PT scans and PET scans and stuff. And you have to stand there a long time. And I'm claustrophobic. And I say, "Oh, God, please help me." They can't give you a sedative. And you have to hold your arms up. And as good as God is, I would feel him cover me with his presence. And I would hear that song, "Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper," go over and over in my spirit. Yeah. So I knew God was with me. And the next day, you saw how peace I was. They put that IV in. I said, "Whoa, what'd you give me?" She said, "IV fluid." I said, "Whoa,
my God." Oh, gosh. I do remember that.
When they diagnosed you with Richter's, did they tell you what you know, you're going to live this long? I mean, like, what did the doctor tell you was going to happen to Mo?
Well, he said they were going to do all the treatment they could do, and then we'd have to see from there. And you didn't even tell what happened then?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to take your question.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I went through all the treatment, and we were in Houston forever. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. My church family, you know, God bless you all. Y'all were such a blessing to me with the prayers and the cards. And I'm a very private person, but they started the GoFundMe. I got mad at them telling all my business. But, you know, God really blessed us, you know, and he sustained us. We were having to keep a house up in Irving and have a house in Houston. And we didn't have our lights cut off. We lost nothing. God sustained us, and we had more than enough. People in Houston, a mailman put a box. We didn't have any Lysol. That was in COVID. And a mailman put a box in our mailbox that had everything we needed, plus a $50 bill that said, "We want to buy your lunch, and you have family in Houston now." God can use whoever, whenever, wherever, you know? Anyway, so I went through all the treatment, and I was cancer-free. The doctor said, "You're in submission, okay?" Well, we went home, and I started praying. I said, "God, I don't want to be in submission. I don't want to live under that umbrella of fear of, oh, is it going to come back? Or when I go back, am I?" I said, "I want to be like the little lady who had the issue of blood that pressed her way into the presence of God and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Amen. That's what I want, God." And so Dr. Cork said the Rickers came back in 30 days. And he said, "We've really done all we can do. And normally you have 3 to 6 months. And he said, "We will continue to try trial studies." But, you know, I got real sick, Pastor, and I couldn't have any trial studies. And in that meantime, we were praying and praying. And so I woke up one morning and I went like this, and praise God, those knots were just gone. I'm telling you, they were gone. And I called Dr. Corey, and I said, "Dr. Corey, those knots are gone." He said, "Donna, that's Rickers, and it does not go away." I said, "Dr. Corey, I'm telling you, the knots are gone and not there. You need to come to Houston," he said. So we went to Houston, and when we got to Houston, they ran all those tests. But when he was examining me, he was saying, "You've been praying, haven't you?" And I said, "Well, when you get 4 kinds of cancer, yeah, you pray." Of course, I prayed before that. But anyway, he did all those tests and stuff. And when he called Jim and I, we went in and sat down. He looked at us. And he said, "You are cancer-free, not in remission."
Amen. Amen.
But he said, "You are cancer-free." I was going to Houston once or twice a month, sometimes every 2 months or whatever. But he said, "You don't have to come back for a year." You hear me? A year I'm talking about. But he said to me, after he said that, he looked at me. He said, "Donna." I said, "Yes, Dr. Corey." He said, "You better give God all the praise and all the glory, because God is the only one that could have done that."
Amen. 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 Now, how long has that been?
That was in 2020.
20. Mm-hmm. Has it been 3 years already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
The battle, go ahead.
I'm just going to tell you something really, really funny real quick. When I went to this lady, her name is Kathy, Nurse Kathy, and they sent me to her before I had the chemotherapy. This was the oncologist in Grapevine. And she said, "You need to shave your head because, you know, it's going to be devastating when your hair starts falling out." And I said, I'm asking for a miracle. I shaved my head. I told God I don't have the face to be bald-headed now. So she looked at me and she said, "Okay, here's the wigs over here." And I told her, I said, "I don't want a wig." But anyway, so I went through the breast cancer. This was with the breast cancer. I went through breast cancer treatment and stuff. And she came upstairs to see me. And at that time, the oncologist in Grapevine had said the pathology report came back and I didn't have to have any chemo. And so when Nurse Kathy came to my room, she looked at me and I said, "Did you hear the news?" And she said, "What's that?" I said, "I don't have to have chemo. And if I'd shaved my head, it would have been a sad day for you, lady."
Word.
So don't ever believe what they tell you. You stand on God's Word, and you dare to believe Amen. That God, what God says He'll do. You just put there.
Yeah, do it. Go ahead.
In my verse of Scripture that I stood on is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's God's word. That's not my word. Amen. That's God's word. And God said He watches over His word to perform it. So if He watches over it to perform it and He's given it to you, hold on to it. Don't you let go, because God is still a God of miracles.
Amen. Amen.
I have a scripture I want to read you. I want you to tell me what this scripture means to you. All right. So it's funny. I got a secret question, Donna. So John 11 and verse 4 is Lazarus' sisters have talked to Jesus, and they said, Lord, the one that you love is ill. And this is what Jesus said. He said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So how does this, you tell us, what does this mean to you, and how does it apply?
Now, y'all may not believe this. Okay, I'm just going to say, all right? So, let me tell you. You know, we all know we're special to God, and He loves us, each and every one, just for who we are and what we are. And I knew, my mother told me this a long time ago. She said, when something comes your way that you don't understand and you're having a hard time dealing with it, simply say, God, for whatever reason, this has come my way. Let it accomplish in me what you desire it to. And that's Amen. What I did, you know, and it was hard. But I knew God was with me every single moment. God is just so kind and so loving and so concerned about us. If you stump your toe, He's concerned about it. And like she was reading, you know, He just loves us so much, and He wants us to know that the devil wants us to think we're defeated. And every time we turn around, something else comes. But you know what? It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And when they said I had Rickers and I was going to die, I looked at them. I did not cry. I didn't pass out. I didn't say anything. And they told Brother Jim, does she know what we're saying to her? Yeah, I knew what they were saying. But God said, He numbers my days. He numbers my days. You have to take God's word, regardless of how possible it looks, and stand on it and dare to stand up and tell the devil, I'm not afraid of you. You can't do nothing to me.
Amen.
I'm blood-bought. I'm spirit-filled. I'm a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
And I have all power and authority through Amen. Christ Jesus who strengthens
Amen.
Me.
Amen. 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 One of my favorite things about Jim and Donna's story, Donna and Jim's story, is how many people y'all have met in these hospitals and been able to share Christ with them. And people, nurses coming to you in the middle of chemo and asking for prayer.
I told God, give me their name, I'll hunt them down, but I don't want to have to go in the hospital again. Just tell me who they are. But, you know, when I was in Indy Anderson being treated, my husband was my caregiver. He hurt his back. He was in the hospital, in Methodist Hospital, and I'm in Indy Anderson. He's having back surgery. So, you know, but in it all, God was still sufficient,
yeah.
and He was more than enough. Yeah. You know, so when you've gone as far as you can go, and I think sometimes we fight it, getting in that prayer room and really giving it all to God. But when you get down on your face before God, just like I was kept telling Jim, pray for me, pray for me. God wanted me to pray for my own self. And when I did, He gave me the victory. So sometimes you feel that drawing to pray, to get in that prayer closet. Go to the prayer closet, because it's the greatest thing you can do, because every single time you go, you're going to come out in victory. Not once
Amen.
Or twice, but every time you submit to going to that prayer room and telling God whatever it is, He's going to give you the victory.
Amen. 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 We know that God... The Bible says, Donna and I were talking about this before church started. We know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we will all die at some point, okay? So if you've had someone that has passed away from cancer or whatever, it doesn't. There's not a disobedience factor. It's not nothing like that. I think Donna hit the nail on the head when you're asking God, when God allows a sickness into our life, and He has to allow it. Okay, I don't believe he brings it on us, but I think he has to remove his hands and allow those things to happen. Read Job later. There's more theology there. But when we say to God, Lord, what is it you're trying to accomplish in me? What are you trying to do? What do you need from this? How are you working around me? What is it that you're doing in me, that developing me and using me to minister to others, so that I can learn that and I can be a part of that? And so everybody's journey is different, but the Bible does tell us that we should ask and we should seek, and when we do, we find. When we knock, he opens the door and he answers those prayers. And so when whatever we're going through right now, whatever we're going through, and I will tell you this, we have seen over the last few months here at Grace Point some miraculous answers to prayer.
Yes, we have.
I mean, just amazing things. Yeah. Marisol is giving her testimony tonight at Sister Night. Fellas, we can't be here, but she's giving her testimony tonight. And there's just so many. And some of them, like, just dramatic, where the doctor says what he said to Donna. You need to give God the credit because he's the only one. When a doctor says that to you after he's been treating you, you know something.
That doctor also told me, I had this documented, every bit of it. He said, well, you had the three cancers, you had treatment, it came back, you had no treatment, and it just went away. He said, I have it all documented.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love the story y'all told about when you went to the hospital one time and your file was so thick they thought you were mixed up with several people.
they thought
she had a lot of people's paperwork in her file. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray in just a minute, and we're going to dismiss. I know some of you need to go get your kids and all that, and appointments this afternoon. And again, there's no pressure, no guilt. We don't do that garbage around here. But if you say, I got something I'm praying for, and I really need God to work, then after we dismiss, I just want you to come forward. And everybody that's not going to be a part of what we're praying or what we're doing down here, just go ahead and make your way out and just laugh and talk and all that stuff in the hallway. And in here, we're just gonna have a time of prayer. And if it lasts 5 minutes or if it lasts 55 minutes, it's okay. We're just going to ask God to do this, because the Bible, it's just a very specific thing. The Bible says, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and God shows up and God answers. And that's what we're going to do. It's just very simply biblical. And we're going to believe God for good things, big things, miraculous things. So this morning's been a different kind of morning. And we're going to, over this next 3 weeks, we're going to have, it's going to be different every Sunday. And I just believe that God is doing something that we are going to have to give him credit for, and which is what we want always. But there's just something happening where God is working and answering and moving. And I love, Donna didn't say, I'm not going to the doctor. I got cancer, I'm just going to pray. That's not what she said. The Bible says faith without works is dead, right? So you can sit around and pray and you don't do what these other things do, the works, then you can't get the answers you need either. So God will get the glory from all of it when we do our part. So I want you to stand with me. And Donna and Jody are going to go stand down here. And if today is your first day here at Grace Point, we'd love to meet you across the hall. We have a little gift for you. We'd like to say hello, and we won't keep you long, but we'd love to meet you real quick if you just can take just a minute and come by and say hello. I want you just to look at somebody and just say this simple word, faith. 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 In our world, faith is hard to come by because we have so many answers. We say, well, if I need a job, I'll get on the internet and look for a job. But faith says, I'm going to get on the internet and look for a job, and I'm going to pray that God would direct me to the right job, that I want God involved in this thing. So we have our country is richer than apparently any country has ever been in the history of the world. We've got more luxuries than anybody ever has in history. And so we think that we're self-sufficient, and we don't need faith when we think we're self-sufficient. But when something comes that you can't control, a family situation, a health situation, then faith is so incredibly important. Not faith in me and faith in you, faith in God, to trust Him and let Him speak to us and let Him speak to our problems. And so we're going to pray. In just a minute, we're going to dismiss. And I'm so thankful for everybody who was here to support the families from baby dedication. Thank you for coming and supporting your families today. And we're just going to continue praying for those babies and those families. All right, let's pray. And we're going to dismiss. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And God, we just ask that you not only build faith in us right here as we pray over the next few minutes, but that we would, that faith would just begin to build in us as we look into your word and we let your word speak to us in our lives, Lord, this afternoon and tomorrow and next week and next year, that we would just be people of faith, that we trust you for the big prayers that we can't control, Lord, and we just give you in advance the credit and the glory for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Thank you for being here today.